Hey guys, it's Jessie.
And Hannah.
And welcome back to Maybe We've Been a Little Too Harsh.
Maybe. We've been a little too harsh.
Nice.
Thank you. I added
How
some
are
percussion.
You?
I'm good. Should I do my life updates?
Yes.
Okay, well, I have an ear infection, so that sucks, but it's clearing up.
Yes.
House stuff is progressing. It's a lot of paperwork, a
Yay.
Lot of waiting. Yeah, that's really all I have. Everything's fine. I had like a breakdown in therapy the other day, like in group therapy, because this girl in group was mean to me and I just started crying.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And like my therapist was clearly on my side, but like trying to not make it clear that she was on my side. So she was like, yeah, trying to be impartial. But I have individual therapy tomorrow, so I'm sure we'll talk about it then. But I'm fine now.
Yeah. Oof, yeah. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Other than that, yeah, nothing's going on.
Okay. I am I'm having a stomach problem right now, which Hannah already knows, but this is for the listeners. I don't know, I like wasn't having a bowel movement, which was weird because I, you know, was doing all the effort to like eat a good amount of food because it won't move if I don't eat a good amount of food, and also like fruits and having a lot of water, blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I finally had like a little bit of something happen, but certainly don't feel good at all. I don't know if you've ever had like a I don't know how many stomach problems you have, but sometimes when you go from being constipated to like not constipated, sometimes you're like you'll feel like your stomach and your intestines start spasming because it's trying to get the stuff to move.
Yeah.
So it's
I
like
think. Wow.
I'll like feel that, and then I'll like sit on the toilet and I'll feel like I'm gonna vomit, which like I have a huge fear of throwing up, so like that's not great. And then it'll like die down a little bit, and then I'll go lie down and I'll be like, oh my god, I could fall asleep for the rest of the night. And then I'm like, oh no, I have to go be on the toilet again because I'm gonna vomit. Yeah.
While on the subject, hold on, I have to run to the bathroom real quick. I'm so sorry, I will be right back.
Oh, no worries, no worries.
Okay, sorry about that.
No worries.
I was like, I can hold it until after recording, and then I was like, no, I cannot.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, so basically, like, the spasming, if I, like, am not responding or it's taking me a second, it's because I'm trying to, like, get, like, over that, and
Aww.
It's making it hard to, like, if I drink water, like, you know, drinking water, it, like, little tiny sips is supposed to make you feel better.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it's just egging on my stomach and intestines more. So that's really fun for me. Yeah, I don't think there's anything interesting going on other than that. I finished a sweater.
Cool.
Looks good, I think. And we got a new couch.
Nice.
Yeah.
I have $400 of furniture in my Amazon cart, and I'm just, like, waiting for the house to officially close, and then I'm just getting by.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited.
I just got a refund. I got a refund from the government.
Oh,
from,
nice.
You know, taxes. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, I had convinced myself that I was going to have to pay them money. So it was really nice to get money from them. And then I'm going to get the stimulus. So I've been, like, letting myself buy dumb shit that I don't actually need.
I had to pay $8,000 in taxes this year. Yeah, $6,000 is a lot better than we were anticipating. I mean, it's good because it means I made more money.
Yes.
But yeah, paying $8,000 was not fun, especially since it was right before we were doing the house search. So I was like, now I have $8,000 less than I was planning.
Ugh.
That's fine. Life happens.
Yeah. It,
now I have no money,
obviously.
Hopefully
will even out eventually.
Yeah, because I've paid it all for the house, so I've got nothing. I've got like $35 in my bank account.
Yikes. So, well, the house, you know, it was a big and important thing.
Yeah, it's an investment.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, let's talk Queer as Folk. I put off watching this episode for as long as I could because it makes me really sad.
Same. I texted you. Yeah. I don't know. For whatever reason, like, everything was bothering me earlier today. Like, I saw a red pen on my my dresser. No, it's the nightstand. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, for whatever reason, I hate that pen. And so seeing it on my nightstand, I was like, if I don't throw this pen away right now or get it out of my sight, I will kill myself. Why? Why was I feeling that way? I don't know,
darling.
Yeah, so that was happening, and I also was like, there's something that I need to do that's way more important than watching the show. I couldn't figure out what it was. Eventually, you know, like, I got myself to watch it, but
I just didn't want to watch it because I knew what happened. And
yeah.
The scene between Brian and Justin in the loft when they're talking about Ethan is really, really hard for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's one of the hardest scenes with the two of them, I think, to watch.
Yeah.
It always goes so much quicker than I remember it. I always picture it as, like, this long scene, and it's short. It's little.
I think it feels long because it basically already happened the previous episode.
Yeah. So. But now everything's getting spelled out.
Yeah.
And...
yeah.
The way Brian holds Justin's face when he says, "What the fuck are you still doing here?"
Yeah.
Like, there's so much affection there, and then he says that. It's like, yeah. Brian, just tell him you want him to stay. That's all he had to do. It's so hard.
Yeah. Okay, so why don't we say, like, wait. Do we usually do, like, a general overview and then we go into the characters?
We usually do, yeah. Okay. We talk a little about whatever's on our minds and then we go into characters.
Yeah. I just know that we're going to, like, definitely deep dive into Brian and Justin.
Yes.
So I, like, want to touch on them as little as possible before we actually talk about them. All right.
So should we start with Michael and Ben then?
Yeah, I guess basically the thing is that everyone who's, like, in a relationship, their relationship's tested, and everyone who's not in a relationship, you can finish the sentence.
becomes a relationship. Except for the lesbians, they're just vibing.
They don't do anything. They're just hanging
out buying baby clothes and dancing. They're just, honestly, I like them this episode because they're just living their best life and they just do not give a shit about anything. They're like, let's mess around and test love life.
Yeah, I don't like it though. I just think I just don't like seeing them. You know what I mean?
That's fine.
Yeah, especially because, like, I don't know as much about what's going to happen as you do. So when I see them, I'm like, ugh. How are they going to be annoying this episode?
It's true. I do know whether or not they're going to be specifically annoying.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm actually thinking about them in the next episode now in the season 3 premiere, and they're actually quite lovely in that one.
Oh, so. Okay. That'll be nice. Yeah. So then let's start with Michael and Ben. Oh my god. Everyone needs to stop having the same fucking name.
I know. Ben and Brian is too close. Ben is, because he's Jewish, wants to go to Tibet and study Buddhism.
Yes. And
it turns out that obviously he does actually want to do this, but he also is sort of trying to subtly ghost Michael, I guess, and, like, retreat from
his
life.
I like that I didn't realize that until, oh my god, the old woman.
Debbie.
What's her name? Debbie. Until she says something about that.
Yeah.
But also, can we talk about how it makes no sense, especially this episode, that Michael, Debbie, and Vic aren't Jewish?
Well, being Italian is basically Jewish.
Not totally. This was all very much like, okay, like, make sure you have a bag packed because you never know when the white supremacists are gonna come for us.
Yeah, and, like, going to the Poconos, like, that's our thing.
Yes. Yeah. But
I say as if I've ever been to the Poconos.
I almost went to sleepaway camp in the Poconos. I know almost everyone else I know went to sleepaway camp there, so
of course. Being Jewish and being Italian are, like, they're so close.
They're so close, except for, like, this whole anxiety preparing for the worst kind of thing.
Mm. Well, you gotta remember the show is, the creators and the writers of the show are Jewish. So everything in Queer as Folk has sort of a Jewish tinge to it, which is something I really like about the show.
And, like, you can really see it here, but I almost wish that it could have been, that it could have felt, like, more real in a way, or, like, it could have been a more consistent thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because, like, I feel like Michael's never, like, sure of himself or, like, sure of what's going to happen, but that anxiety, I feel like, fluctuates so much for him. And I feel like if they had made him, like, actually Jewish, it would have been more consistent or more of, like, a thing that they actually thought about when writing his character.
There's actually a line. So. It's the season 4 premiere, I believe, when Brian says to Justin, "When did you become a Jewish mother or Michael?" So just equating the two.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Everyone in that little situation should be Jewish.
Yes.
So. Yeah.
Brian is, like, kind of Jewish, and Justin is not.
I really don't see Brian as kind of Jewish, like, at
all. He just has a lot of lines. He still seems Catholic to me. He later will, I don't want to spoil it, so I won't say that one, but, like, at one point he says, like, in Pittsburgh there's nothing to do on Friday nights except for go to synagogue. And, like,
Worm! Yeah.
He just throws in some Jewish references. At times.
As someone who worked at a... Yeah. I was going to say, as someone who worked at a synagogue in Pittsburgh, I wish I could say that that's true, but it's not, unfortunately. I'll pretend that it's true, though.
Yes.
I think my brother did just arrive with food. So...
Ooh.
We can still, like, get through the meat, just because I don't know how sick the food's going to make me, because...
Sure.
Who knows? Yeah. So, okay. I don't know. So clearly Michael was stressing about Ben going to Tibet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because he was talking about it with multiple people throughout the episode.
Yeah, I like that they never considered breaking up, though.
Yeah.
That was never on the table.
Yeah. I also like that. It was just, like, obviously going to be hard. And I did like that Michael said, like, it feels like every time I get into a relationship with someone, like, they then, oh, it was my dad who went, whatever, they then leave wherever we are, blah, 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 and I feel like that, it was, I'm glad that they wrote a character to say that, because I was already thinking that.
Yes.
But it's Debbie really had,
when that happens, when they voice what you're thinking.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say that Debbie had, like, a really great moment. I don't know, like, it was just so, like, she finally was, like, an advocate for her son in a way that was, like, important.
Yeah, and she's so cute with Ben now.
Good. Yes.
And they're going to be like that for the rest of the show. They're just, the two of them are, like, thick as thieves, and it's very cute.
Oh, good. I'm so happy about that.
And
I also did like the reveal at the end, like when everyone's in the club.
Yeah,
and he decided not to go. Yeah.
I'm glad that he's not going. It would have been an easy thing to do, like, during the break. But actually, season 3 picks up the next morning. There's no time break.
Okay.
Everybody's hair is longer, and we're just supposed to not notice.
They could get haircuts. I don't understand.
They got a new... You actually will be able to notice. It's interesting. They got a new hair and costume person for season 3.
Okay.
And you'll notice stuff is different.
Okay.
But everyone's hair is longer. They decided to go with longer hair. It was what was in at the time. You know, it's like 2003.
Yeah. Yeah. A Harry so Potter 4 does, or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So everyone has that kind of shaggy hair for a little while.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to my faves.
Okay, your faves.
Ted and Emmett.
So this is actually something that the actors have been pushing for since season 1.
Thank God, because it read at the beginning. Yeah.
These two actors are best friends. They still are.
Good. Yeah.
And they really wanted to do this. So they were super happy that the show agreed.
Ugh, yeah. It was definitely really painful to watch, especially watch Ted. Because I do all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I found it really, just, like, the secondhand embarrassment and, like, the worry that, like, it was going to go badly. And then, of course, like, it did go badly at first, which didn't quite make sense to me because I kind of, like, I don't know. For me, it was already reading that Emmett, like, if he just gave it, like, a moment or two of thought, he would be like, oh, wait, maybe I do have feelings for Ted, which, like, eventually did happen. Mm-hmm. And the way that they paced it, I'm sure, is much better than I could have ever paced it. There's a reason I write nonfiction and poetry more than fiction.
This plotline makes me think so much about how much I don't understand about, like, attraction and what's normal. Because it's like, this would seem to imply that the only difference between friendship love and romantic love is sexual attraction. Because Emmett was naming things about Ted that he found attractive. And in that moment, he realized, oh, I love him as a friend and he's hot. So now I will kiss him.
Oh, that's not how I took it at all.
Oh, no? Okay.
Yeah. Because I like in the way that we kind of saw Ted shift in the like last episode with like how he started seeing Emmett as a result of like how Emmett was treating him. I can't remember what the situation was. Oh, yeah, because, like, Ted was sad or whatever.
Yeah.
And then... I took it to be that, like, Emmett made his... He didn't... It was almost like if it was never on the table, he would have never, like... The idea would have never really occurred to him at all.
Yeah.
And once, like... Ted was kind of pulling away, which, like, I get. I thought that it made a lot of sense for him to do that because, like, yeah, it's embarrassing to, like, bare your soul to another person and have them kind of be like, no, sorry. And, like, that, of course, he would, like, need time to, like, get back to normalcy. I think Emmett was, I guess, like, more afraid of anything changing, and then by the time he realized that, like, things were already changed and there's nothing he could do about it, he kind of, like, let himself realize that, like, oh, well, like, these are all these things that I, like, love about Ted and, like, find attractive in Ted. And, like, maybe I just, like, was pushing those thoughts, like, to the side or, like, brushing them off as, like, friendship thoughts and feelings and whatnot.
Sorry for my psychotic That's how dog I took you hear it. In the background.
I know.
I'm playing with him. He's not just going crazy, so it's my fault.
Yeah. But like, do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I just, like, I've been thinking so much about, like, where I fall on, like, asexual and aromantic spectrums.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really have answers, and I don't really feel like a deep craving to have answers because, like, my life is pretty settled and, like, I'm fine with it. But it's like, I remember with me, Benny and I were really, really good friends, and then they came to visit, and we met in person for the first time, and they needed something to wear to sleep, so I lent them my tank top. Mm-hmm. And on me, it's just like a regular tank top, but on them, because they're so tiny, it's like a good dress. And I saw them, in this tank top, and I was like, oh, that's really cute. And then I was like, oh, shit. And I had this moment, and I texted my friend, I think I'm going to hook up with Benny. But, like, that was like, I think we're going to hook up, not like I'm in love with them. And now I'm trying to remember, like, when I fell in love with them, and I'm not sure. And I'm not even sure there really was, like, a moment, because we were already such good friends. And then the attraction element came in, and, like, maybe that was it. Maybe that's all it takes. Or, like, was there another moment where we turned into a different kind of love? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Me neither.
I literally have only interacted with you and Benny in person that one time when Remy was a kitten. So, like... Yeah. Almost 2 years ago.
We weren't together then.
Oh my god.
That was that same trip.
I'm gonna go have a panic attack now because Remy's old.
My cats are 11.
I don't want to think about it. Our one cat, our oldest, I think is like on her way out.
Oh. My parents have 2 17-year-olds who are still going strong.
Yeah. Ours are like, I think 17 or 18. So. Yeah. But I don't know, this felt very real to me because I definitely have been in this situation many times. I just think that there's something really beautiful about the friends to lovers situation.
Definitely. That's how,
just because it's so much deeper.
I think the only person I wasn't friends with before starting dating was Madeline. Madeline and I had an actually like very like traditional relationship where we like went on dates and got to know each other, and we really didn't know each other at all before there was the possibility of it being something romantic. And it worked out fine. I mean, we were together for a year.
Yeah.
But all my other relationships, we started out as friends.
That makes sense. Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's so much more satisfying, I guess, going from friends to being together, even though like there is that bigger risk of like losing someone who's important to you, or like the relationship turning sour, or the person like, I don't know, drifting apart from you if you reveal your feelings.
It was very scary when Chris and I broke up because I lost everything.
Yeah.
Our mutual friends all chose him. And I lost my whole life, and I had to figure that out at 19, which was really difficult.
Yeah.
And after that, I said I wouldn't date my friends anymore. And I didn't for 6 years.
And then you did.
And then I did, and it was Kat, and it was terrible.
Yes, that's true. That's true. And we're back.
Yeah, where were we? I don't remember.
I think we were talking about Emmett and whatever. Oh, wait, hold on.
Yes, Emmett and Ted.
Yes, but I forgot that I did actually have another... What's that, an announcement? It's just, like, life stuff that I was, like, too... I was feeling still, like, a little too ill to remember that I have a life other than feeling sick.
That's very relatable.
One thing is that I have gotten really into Joni Mitchell again. Always a great time.
Love Joni Mitchell.
She's an icon. And also, I have decided / am working on developing my own drag persona. So there hopefully will be updates eventually about that.
That's very exciting.
Don't look like shit. So
now that you reminded me of music, I am trying to learn all of Taylor Swift's Evermore on ukulele.
Good. You stopped playing for a while, I think.
I just hadn't been playing, but it wasn't like a decision to stop playing.
Yeah. Just
hadn't been doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I played some last night. I'm going to play some more after this.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Wait.
And then I'll know how to play Evermore for some reason, and I'll record my own little album that no one will listen to but me.
I mean, you know what? I recorded myself singing the other day because I was like, I haven't performed in so long, I have literally no idea if I even sound good still. Like, it feels the same, you know, but like, am I just crazy? The answer is yes, certifiably. My many mood stabilizers can confirm. But yeah, so you know what, record yourself singing and playing ukulele, who cares?
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
Eli, you crazy.
Definitely part of me feeling sick was that I was, like, underfed. You know, like, when you get so hungry that, like, sometimes it's the same feeling as nausea. It's the worst.
Yep.
So, yeah. Okay.
Okay, so, Ted and Emmett.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ew, Benny just texted me boring student loan stuff. I don't want to know about student loan stuff. I'm sorry, Benny, when you're listening to this.
You know,
I'm sure it's very important. this is the kind of stuff you have to talk about all the time when you're buying a house. It's just,
of course, it's
just boring financial stuff over and over again. It's so dull.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Ted and Emmett are, they're together now.
Yeah, they have this beautiful, like, kiss at the club, because, like...
It's a good kiss.
Emmett came over to Ted's house, I guess, like, earlier in the day, and was like, sorry. And Ted was like, yikes, I'm embarrassed. Please let yourself out. And, like, then went into the other room. And then at the club, like, Ted's not interacting with Emmett. And then...
Yeah.
Emmett's like, no, I need you to interact with me. It was so fulfilling. You know what I mean? Like, so satisfying. It was like better than those like videos where they cut up soap and they chop it.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd watch this over
and over. Something that I noticed for the first time on this watch was there's a little clip of Emmett and Ted dancing together at the very end of the episode when we're just kind of checking in on everybody after. And they are mirroring the way that Brian and Justin danced in a previous episode.
Yes, I definitely caught that.
Ted puts his arms out the way that Brian did.
Yes.
So that's a cute little tidbit I'd never noticed before.
It was so cute. Yeah. It was so good. Especially, like, I don't know. I don't know if it was, like, as satisfying for you, because, like, Ted and Emmett are, like, my favorite characters.
I mean, I knew it was coming, obviously.
Yeah, but, like, because you also have to sit through watching all of this, like, stomach-churning frustration with, like, Brian and Justin this episode. Yes. Whereas, which, like, I'm not going to say, like, I was happy. That was not, like, soothing to see that, but I definitely feel like I ended the episode feeling overall pretty happy.
Yeah, I did not.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I mean, I'm glad that Ted and Emma were there to bring, like, a little happiness, but, like, for me, it's just overwhelming sadness. Yeah.
I mean, I think also a big part of it is, like, I very much am Ted most of the time, but especially this episode.
Yeah,
it was very good to see Ted get some happy ending, since I can't
date in a pandemic. I am Brian most of the time, including this episode, when he just gets in the way of his own happiness and just can't do the things he needs to know.
That, I think, was the worst part.
So let's talk about the overwhelming sadness.
Yeah.
So, Brian finds out, we don't know exactly how Brian finds out that it was Ethan.
Mm-hmm.
I think my theory is that the CD fell out of Justin's bag.
Yes.
Brian saw the art on it and said, well, that's Justin's art.
I probably saw that on the back it said for Justin. That's why they put that in the beginning.
Yeah. How did he immediately find Ethan on the street? Who knows, really?
I mean, there's only one street that the gays know, and it's Liberty Ave.
It's true.
Yeah.
Although every other time we've seen Ethan play, it's been by the university, and now all of a sudden he's playing by the diner? Like, okay, whatever, sure.
Yeah.
So Brian offers him a job, the way that Brian does, and tells him his name.
Yes.
And I think was hoping for a reaction, got one. Mm-hmm. And then we have the conversation with Brian and Justin in the loft.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's rough.
Well, but also Justin walks into the diner.
Yes,
while Brian is talking to Ethan, and there's obviously a look of, oh no, that passes, Okay, the loft.
There's also a little moment before this when Justin and Ethan are together, and Justin mentions that they're throwing the party, and Ethan says, he must love you a lot.
Yes.
And Justin says, in his way.
And then Ethan, like an asshole, is like, not in your way.
But not in yours.
Shut up! No.
That's just tuck that away in the back of your head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot in here that really was red flags from Ethan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, the Jew has to become the villain. The only canon Jew.
Melanie.
Oh yeah, that's true. Her last name isn't like Gold or Steinberg, so it's a little harder.
What's her last name? I forgot. Marcus.
Yeah, oh, you know what? I can't be mean about that because I have cousins whose last name is Marcus.
Yeah,
they're Jewish. But Steen and Berg and Gold, come on. That's the most obvious ones.
I know. Ethan Gold is the most Jewish name of all time.
Yeah.
It would be anti-Semitic if the creators weren't Jewish, but it still kind of is.
Yeah, that's true. Wait, have you ever played that? Well, I don't know if you have played this drinking game, but it's you and another person say different parts of, like, a name. So I would say a first name, and you would say a last name, and then you take a shot or, like, a sip if you know a Jewish person who actually has that name.
That's amazing.
It's so good. It's really good.
That is so fun. No, I've never played that.
Well, once the pandemic's over, we should play it.
Yes, that would be very fun. Ow, Jesus Christ, Eli. So it was my fault. I have this thing on my finger and I'm having him bite it.
Yeah.
And he did it really hard. Okay, you can have it. You can have it. There you go. But he wants me to have it on my finger as a thing, so he tries to give it back to me.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to be Eli. I love you very much. So yeah, there's a conversation in the loft. Mm-hmm. where Brian essentially tells Justin that he needs to choose.
Yeah.
And Brian is more visibly hurt by this than I would have expected from him.
Yeah.
He's clearly upset.
Yeah. But it seems like it's still not clicking for Justin for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean, my excuse is always PTSD and frontal lobe trauma.
I'm sure that that is what it is. That would make sense. And also, he clearly, his brain is processing these already conflicting feelings that he's dealing with. And I'm sure schoolwork mm-hmm. and the comic on top, like, there's only so many things that you can think about and actually do good with at once. I don't know how to conjugate yeah. that sentence, but you know what I mean?
Yes. It's rough. I mean, this is what's going on for the whole second half of season two, is watching these communication breakdowns happen yeah. between the two of them. And now it's really coming to a head.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's frustrating that Brian won't just say the things that Justin needs to hear. And it's frustrating that Justin needs to hear them in the first place.
I guess. I don't know. I feel like it's reasonable for Justin to at one point be like, no, I don't need this. And then, like, a little while later be like, actually, I do need this. But he needs to say something. Wait, was that what you were trying to say?
Well, not really, because Michael lists off all the things that Brian does for Justin at one point. Remember, he says he saved your life. He loves you. He takes care of you. He looks after you. He protects you. Mm-hmm. And that's true. He does all of these things.
Yeah.
And Justin says he doesn't love me. He fucks me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, when did Justin decide that Brian didn't love him?
Probably the birthday party.
Yeah.
Yeah. But.
And that's rough because, as we know, Brian didn't do the birthday party because he thought that Justin knew all of that stuff.
Yes. Yeah. I have big problems with Michael saying that shit to Justin.
Yeah,
it was
me too.
Uncalled for. And also, I was in Justin's position and I didn't choose to have someone bash me in the skull and have me almost die or have my parents kick me out of their house or like need financial contributions to college, there would be no way that I could have a healthy relationship with the person who's providing those things. Absolutely not. I think if I was Justin, okay, and like, trigger warning, like I simply think I would end myself because that is too much pressure.
Yeah.
It really is. And I feel like that's so awful for.
And when you remember, Michael, he's 19 years old.
Exactly. That's the other thing that I was about to say. So.
Yeah.
Same brain.
He acts older, so it's easy to forget, but he is 19 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's little.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I don't fault him for, like, needing to be told those things.
I never fault Justin for anything because I love him to death, so I can relate.
Yeah, yeah. I guess that I just had interpreted what you said as, like, you think it.
Yeah.
It's, like, not right.
I don't think it's wrong that Justin needs to hear them. I think it's frustrating to us as an audience that he needs to hear them. Because we know them.
I mean, I guess. I don't know. I feel like if I was casually watching this and not discussing it every episode on a podcast,
yeah.
I probably would feel like I needed a little, just like a teeny tiny bit more hand-holding.
See, I don't want Brian to be monogamous. I don't want Brian to say, I love you. I don't want Brian to buy him the flowers. I want Justin not to need those things. And I know that that's not fair to ask Justin, but because I relate the most with Brian, of course that's what I want. You know, I want that to be enough.
I mean, but I also don't necessarily think that that's what he needs either.
Yeah.
I think he needs Brian to, like, understand that he doesn't want Brian to show affection towards him by buying a hooker for his birthday. You know, and especially I think it really is very clear in, you know, I'm going to say the loft scene after Justin comes home from Ethan last episode and they're on the floor.
Yeah.
And instead of like saying that he's upset or that he has a feeling, or like that he knows what's going on, he just is like shitty in a way that like us as the audience who's seeing everything happen understand what mm-hmm. he means by that, but Justin, who is only living his individual life, probably would not realize and would just think that Brian's being like a little rude and a little hot and cold. And what Justin needs is for Brian to not like express his like feelings of you know, being, I guess, like being cheated on. There's a better word. His feelings of like,
the problem is really being lied to.
I think. And like how he feels like shit because Justin is lying to him. He needs Brian to be clear about that, like express that what he's feeling in that way clearly. I don't think he necessarily needs like, I love you, here's flowers, blah, blah, blah.
Well, a lot of that will be explored next season, because that's what he's going to get from Ethan. And we'll see how he reacts to that. And Ethan and Justin obviously do not end up together.
Yeah, I figured.
I don't feel like that's a spoiler.
No.
But I don't love the way that their relationship ends. And I think it's unsatisfying. And we'll talk about that a lot when we get there. Mm-hmm. But it does, there's not enough of it, in my opinion, but there is a lot of Justin figuring out what it is that he really wants and what he values in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish it was more spelled out,
mm-hmm.
But it is there mm-hmm. if you look for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Ethan, I almost wish that they didn't get back together at the end of this episode, because even though, like, Ethan kicking Justin out and refusing to hear him and just like playing music over him, like, is a little immature.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of maturity in being like, no, you clearly are going to choose him. Like, that's just what your destiny is. And obviously, like, there's more going on there, and you're not ready to like give up on Brian and just like choose to be with me. And like, if he had held that ground, that would have been really mature, and I would have really respected him and like really liked that decision. But obviously,
yeah,
we get a shittier story.
Of course. The beginning of season three, mm-hmm. when Justin and Brian are not together, is full of little moments of Justin and Brian interacting that are so fun.
Okay.
They make sure that we get a Justin Brian scene in every episode.
Thank God.
And they're fun.
Okay.
The relationship that they develop throughout the breakup is really interesting.
Okay.
And it's something I have a lot of fun with when I'm writing fanfic, because I just love them interacting in that time.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
And it's why I love season three, even though they're not together for half of it.
Yeah. Because it's still interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
We still get some good content with the two of them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And then, of course, the part when they are together is pretty great, so.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry, I feel like I've really, like, talked over you in the Justin section.
No. You were good. So, at the rage party, Justin hears that Brian is looking for him, and then finds Brian fucking rage.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about Brian fucking rage here, is it's easy to be like, oh my God, Brian, what are you doing? This is so mature. But like, at the same time, when Justin came back to the loft after Ethan threw him out, what Brian thinks happened is that Justin went over and ended things with Ethan. He thinks that Justin has chosen him.
Oh my God, I did not realize that.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, it took me a few watches to realize that too. So he comes back, and that's why Brian opens up the covers for him and hugs him close, because he thinks that he's been chosen.
Oh.
Instead of being the, oh, I know. So that's why he's not trying with Justin, because he thinks that Justin has decided that this is what makes him happy.
Yeah.
And then Ethan shows up
mm-hmm.
at the party.
Mm-hmm.
And he realizes that everything he thought was wrong.
Yeah, wow.
And it's rough.
Wow. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
This is definitely why, what, having seen more of the show, gives you perspective. Because what I saw, and I don't know if, like, you felt this way when you watched it the first time, was that, Brian having sex with Rage was payback. It felt like payback to me because of how they show him looking directly at Justin while that's going on.
But if you think back to, like, early season two Justin, early two season Justin would have thought that was hilarious and hot.
Yes. Yeah.
So maybe that's what Brian was looking for in his reaction.
Oh, probably.
For him to go, look at you, fucking Rage. This is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he thought that Justin had chosen this life.
Yes. Yeah. And, like, since we've seen the progression basically following Justin's perspective a lot more than Brian's in terms of, like, his feelings about the lack of monogamy, or, like, lack of traditional monogamy, question mark? I don't even know. And their relationship, I feel like we're much more, like, already in Justin's headspace, because that's kind of how the show is presented.
Yeah.
Sad.
It's rough.
Yeah.
Ugh. But it's not forever.
Yes. Yes.
So, we know this.
Yeah, it was just so...
It's a 5-season show. The main couple of the season is not going to break up for good at the end of season 2.
No.
No.
But, I mean, there was something else. There was another moment earlier in the episode before Brian... It was, like, before the Rage Party, I think. And Brian... His, like... Oh, my God. I'm having a hard time sort of articulating what I'm saying. But it's sort of this moment where Brian's like, I don't need to feel my feelings because they don't matter. I should be over this already. And we kind of get that same thing again after he sees Ethan and Justin kissing, and everyone else also sees that, and everyone then turns and looks at him, and he's like...
Mm-hmm. He
puts the mask back on, and he goes and he dances with that other guy. There was some earlier moment, and I swear to God, it was, like, something along the lines of him, like, throwing something on the ground or, like, brushing something else off. And it was the same.
There's the moment when he's in the comic shop
and
Justin leaves, and there's clearly tension between them, and he's obviously upset by it, and Michael kisses him, and Brian smiles like everything's fine. But that's all I can think of.
No, it must have been, like, if there was another moment where he was with more people than just one other character.
Nope, that was the only one.
That was the only one. What about, like, in the loft at any other moment? Maybe it was the loft part as well that I...
Yeah, there's only
said
the one
something
loft
else
scene.
In the loft that made me think that.
Yeah.
Probably. Whatever. That was the worst part. That was the hardest thing to watch. Was him getting in his own way because he doesn't even value his own emotions.
It's really hard to watch.
Yeah.
And it does not get easier on multiple viewings because you just get more frustrated with him.
Yeah.
All right.
You should go to therapy.
He really should. I guess we're done.
Yeah. Hot or not?
Hot or not.
Okay. I usually go first, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my gosh, this is so hard because there's so many good people to give it to.
I know.
Okay, I'm going to give it to Debbie because I wanted to give it to her while we were watching. Because I think, I don't know, I feel like I always award it to someone who's, like, being selfless or, like, looking out for someone else. And she obviously knows her son very well and knows that he doesn't want to, like, hold Ben back, but that in not doing that, he's not going to, like, express what actually is bothering him or, like, what the problem of Ben leaving is. And Debbie just, like, does a really great job of expressing that without being a bitch.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's, like, one of her rare moments of doing that. So,
yes.
Yeah. Who's yours?
So I would give it to Michael for the Ben plot, but I can't because of the Justin plot.
Ugh, yeah.
So I'm going to give it to Ted.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fact that he sat Emmett down and told him how he was feeling was really brave.
Yeah.
And I thought he handled Emmett's rejection beautifully.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm proud of him.
Yeah.
Even though he was a little cringy at the beginning, you know, but he feels things.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's good to feel things.
I look exactly like that when I have crushes on my friends. It's disgusting. God. Yeah. Yeah. Ted and Emmett were my other choices.
Yeah. Okay. Who's your not?
My not is... Oh, fuck. God damn it. There's so many good choices.
No one was really that terrible. Oh, really? I'm thinking there's not.
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of good choices because I feel like everyone either, like, did right by themselves or didn't do right by themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think I just really have to give it to Brian, because he's actively sabotaging everything in his life, in his relationship, because he is headstrong about not communicating.
Yeah.
And stupid.
Before I give mine, I forgot to mention, we saw Daphne in this episode. Yes! <That's> great. Love her.
Yeah.
I want to give my hat to Daphne for existing. I don't know who I'm going to give my hat to. I'm just going to say I will give my hat to and see how I finish the sentence.
Wait, you mean you're not? My hot...
Yes, my not.
Okay.
Thank you. I will give my not to... Fuck.
Michael's a good choice. He did good and bad things.
Yeah, I guess it's got to be Michael for throwing all of Justin's stuff in his face and... I mean, it was satisfying to us as the viewers to hear all these reasons that the ways that Brian loves Justin. Like, we like to hear it.
I guess. I don't know.
Justin doesn't need to hear it. And he shouldn't have interfered. Also, he wears that shirt, the raid shirt with the rip down it.
Mm-hmm.
Where you could, and I've been trying to find that shirt for ages, and you can't find it. So I'm mad at him for wearing it, and I can't have it. So... There's so little Rage memorabilia out there. And I'm like, someone needs to be on Etsy making this shit.
I'm sure someone will if someone asks loud enough.
There's like no Queer as Folk stuff on Etsy. It sucks.
That's dumb. Yeah.
I know. I would buy so much of it.
Yeah. I also feel like Michael not being able to articulate his needs well enough also adds to him being deserving of a not.
Yes. Yes. Although he's sweet to Ben. And I'm glad he's always so good to Ben.
He is. He is. He is doing, I guess, like, the reverse of what Brian is doing here, where he's, like, putting the needs of the, like, he's silently putting the needs of the other person first. Well, maybe that's not what I'm trying to get at. They're undermining their relationships in, like, ways that sort of mirror each other, but are also still distinctly different. I can't really articulate it. Yeah.
Okay. Next episode.
Yes.
Shit, I don't have it ready. Hang on. Beginning of season 3. The best season. So remember, this is the next morning, even though everyone's hair is different.
Okay.
You just have to pretend.
Yes.
It's called Mad Dog Kinney.
Oh my god. I feel like I remember you telling me this because I was like, that's a dumb name.
Yeah. At the Rage comic book release party, Justin chose Ethan over Brian, but Brian didn't seem to care. A week later, Michael bears the brunt of just how much he does care.
Mm-hmm.
Ted and Emmett explore the possibilities of a relationship.
Love.
And the fate of Michael and Justin's comic book is up in the air.
Valid. Yeah. I didn't like that stupid Riddler-looking man who was the host, like the MC. This episode, yes. Like, ew. Get rid of him.
This episode takes place in warm weather, and I believe is our last episode that will take place in warm weather.
Mm, okay.
So enjoy it.
So warm weather in Pittsburgh, it must be May to early June and no other time.
And it will never happen again.
Yeah. I mean, that is
location accurate. May to early June is probably a good guess considering when Justin's birthday was. Because Justin's birthday is in February because he's a Pisces.
Ew. No.
Yeah. I'm a Pisces moon.
Ugh. I have no water in my chart.
Wow.
Tell me that doesn't make perfect sense.
It does.
Yeah.
I'm scared. I have very little earth in my chart, which also makes quite a bit of sense.
That does, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, sign us off.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening. You know, I'd like to promise that the episodes aren't going to stay this long, but clearly I just need to, like, talk and talk and talk. This is, like, the third day in a row that I've done this.
What's wrong with a long episode? People like them. I like them.
I mean, I also like them, but I worry. I don't know. I feel like last time you were like, this is long. I was like, uh-oh.
No, I like long episodes.
Okay, cool. You guys can and should go follow us on Twitter at A Little Too Harsh, at Hannah Moskowitz, and at Jesse_Quinn. Thank you guys so much for listening. Adopt a cat.
Adopt a cat.